little farther. And we're on page 298, Esoteric Astrology, Adventure 90, Section E. He has some interesting things to say here about initiation and horoscopes, something which should be solved. In connection with the horoscope of the Leo subject and the theme of initiation, now it may be that this only applies to the Leo subject, I would point out that when the Sun, the Moon, hiding a planet, perhaps Vulcan, and Saturn are all combined in a certain house in the horoscope, you have the sign, you have what is called the sign of the man who is to take initiation. Now, here's the thing. This can be only for the Leo subject. We have to ask that. Only for the Leo subject, perhaps. Is this also a natal indication? Are you born with this condition, or do things move together in a progressing manner, so that the progressed Sun and Moon and perhaps Saturn combine in a house? Now, the midnight sun correlates with the fourth house. It is the hidden point at which initiation occurs. It can be the fourth house that's indicated, and perhaps it indicates different initiations when different houses are involved. The second initiation might relate more to the Scorpionic house, the first perhaps to the fifth house, the third initiation to the tenth, the fourth initiation to the fourth. These are speculations. We need to be able to identify those who are taking initiation at a certain point, who are apparently Leo subjects. See, that's something that's often overlooked. It's as if when the Sun, Moon, hiding a planet, and Saturn combine in a house in anybody's chart, whether you're Leo or not, it indicates initiation. This is not necessarily the case. So it says, in connection with the horoscope of the Leo subject, who is ruled by the Sun. And I suppose, you know, we'd have to look at where lunations occur. Lunation would be the progressed conjunction of the Sun and the Moon. And if they occur, well, of course, the interesting thing is Vulcan will always be quite close to the Sun. So its progressions, perhaps, if it hasn't been retrograde, will be quite close to the Sun. It always will stay within 8 to 10 degrees of the Sun. But we don't know enough about its orbit and its speed to determine whether Vulcan may be the planet. Maybe the planet is different for each initiation. Vulcan seems to be involved with all the initiations, but maybe particularly the first. Neptune is strongly involved with the second initiation. Uranus with the third, but Vulcan too. This particular statement may not mean what, as the old commentary says, what at first sight doth appear. May not. Let's see here. Yes. Nevertheless, we will be on the outlook for the Sun-Moon conjunctions, as they do represent a transmission direct from the sources of higher energy, the initiator, the Sun, into the personality nature, the Moon. And of course, Saturn has the effect of grounding the energies, making them more concrete, bringing them right into the physical brain consciousness. So, into the physical brain consciousness and into the physical brain. A certain house of the horoscope. But then it does not indicate whether we are speaking of one initiation or all. We know so little about being able to identify the person who is at the present moment taking an initiation. We'd have to have a relatively large sample of such people, and also we'd have to be able to check their horoscopes, accurate horoscopes, accurately. So this is a tantalizing hint about identifying those who have the potential to take initiation, but it perhaps tells us a little less than what we might think on the first reading. Do we mean the third initiation or any of the five initiations, or especially the first and second initiation? Or do we mean only all initiations in general, or only one type of initiation? These are questions that have to be answered first, but we can see why the Sun, Moon, and Saturn have to combine. It's the spirit soul as the Sun, the Moon as the personality, Saturn as the physical brain and the physical nature in general, because initiation, as we normally understand it, requires the physical brain consciousness and represents an open door. We are told that Saturn is the open door of opportunity and is the grounding force. It doesn't, when we talk about the Moon hiding a planet, it doesn't necessarily mean a hidden planet. It could be any of the planets veiled by the Moon, depending on the type of initiation being taken. So that will remain as a tantalizing piece of information for further research, I think. Leo being the fifth sign of the zodiac, counting from Aries via Taurus, that's the counterclockwise motion, and also the eighth sign counting from Aries via Pisces. Now, here we have to be careful. Caution is required here. Why is that? Because if we start at Aries and count Aries and move via Pisces, but count Aries as the first sign, which we do when we're moving towards Leo, counterclockwise, arriving at the fifth, Leo is the fifth sign, then Leo is the ninth sign. If we start in Pisces, then Leo is indeed the eighth sign and not the ninth. So anyway, we will assume that we've had to start with Pisces, or that we did not count Aries as the first, but simply moved from Aries in the clockwise direction. So if we count, let's say, Aries, Aquarius, Capricorn, Sagittarius, that's four signs, Scorpio, Libra, Virgo, Leo, then we have eight. And earlier we were operating in this way when looking at Leo, Capricorn, and Scorpio. So anyway, since it's the eighth sign, it would be closely associated with Mercury, who is esoterically, because he is the hierarchical ruler of Scorpio, the messenger at the eighth gate. The eighth gate must be Scorpio. Not necessarily a house, but a sign, I suspect. And Mercury, at the time of individualization, when the eighth gate was opened and a major initiation of our planetary logos took place, well, since our planetary logos only has taken one cosmic initiation. Is this a cosmic initiation? Or one of the seven which he is in process of taking, the fourth being current? So is the third, I might call it sort of a, is the third chain initiation, let's call it that, since one of them is occurring on our fourth chain, but is the third, then chain initiation, the kind we are discussing here. These are more intra-planetary. So, the eighth gate was opened. It used to be that the eighth gate was the final gate. There was a zodiac of eight signs, and the eighth gate represented the end. Now, does this mean that signs beyond Scorpio were then accessible? That is the question. Producing in the human kingdom the process of individualization. If Scorpio was involved, there was the death of many animal forms. Leo, of course, is a sign much connected with the solar angels and with individualization in general, because it produced that, through the spark of mind, the incipient reflexive consciousness, self-awareness. Leo produced incipient self-awareness later to emerge less vaguely in consciousness. So much depends on how we are moving here. Mercury is the messenger at the eighth gate, and is Scorpio involved? Leo is the eighth sign, counting backwards from Pisces. But Mercury is also involved, and Mercury is helping to convey the spark of mind. Mercury is a messenger. Mercury is assisting in the conveyance of the spark of a spark of mind. It's a bridge taking the spark of mind from the solar angel to the mind and brain of man. Mercury is the mind in which the spark of mind is anchored. In relation to the mental unit. So Scorpio was involved, and I think that after the zodiac of eight, now we don't know, perhaps Leo Virgo was eliminated from the zodiac of eight, and maybe Scorpio was not the last sign. Because we did not have individualization, I think, when this zodiac of eight signs existed. So, we're learning about when man can take initiation, and we're learning also about individualization and a major initiation of our planetary logos, having to do with Leo, but possibly also having to do with Scorpio. Mercury is not particularly related to Leo. It is to Scorpio, and Scorpio is the eighth sign. So it is common to take to focus on a particular sign and then find out what its number would be using the clockwise method of counting. Leo would be 8, which ties it to Scorpio. So it can be, in a way, the end of the animal consciousness, Scorpio, and the beginning of the human consciousness, Leo. That's one way to conceive of it. The human kingdom is involved, and another thing we have to look at here, the human kingdom is ruled by Scorpio and by Mercury. Well, let's say the fourth grade of hierarchy is, and the human kingdom is derivative of that. Both have the number four, and Scorpio is ruled by the fourth ray, and the human kingdom is the fourth. So we see how these numbers do indeed fit together. From another angle, as might be anticipated, Leo is related to Scorpio, whose numbers upon the zodiacal wheel are the same as those of Leo, being 5 and 8. So five, this is very important. Find the signs whose zodiacal numbers are the same. Now, if we move to Scorpio, its number is 8, and backwards, counting from Pisces, Leo's number is 8. If we count backwards with Pisces as the first sign, then Scorpio's number is 5. So we must start counting with Pisces clockwise, not with Aries. You have, therefore, the formation of a triangle to which I earlier referred, Leo, Scorpio, leading to initiation. Yes, he uses the same method. He uses the same method of relating numbers established. I don't want to spell that. By counting in two directions, clockwise and counterclockwise. Okay, this is fascinating, and showing us the ways of deriving unsuspected relations between the zodiacal factors. Numerology underlies all of these relations, and esoteric numerology, well, it holds many secrets. It may all look very abstract, but in the long run, it will have immediate application to the development of the human being. I have no doubt about that. Okay, it might be quite interesting to look at some of these signs whose numbers are the same. It all depends on where you start to count. Signs whose numbers are the same. So we see that when we look at Scorpio and Leo as having the same numbers, we obviously began with the counterclockwise wheel with Aries as the first sign, and the clockwise wheel with Pisces as the first sign. You can do that counting from Aries as the first sign. It's a little different. Or you can do Aries counterclockwise, Pisces as the beginning of the wheel, clockwise. So we could say that one sign from Pisces is Aquarius. So let's see. If we go counterclockwise, we have Taurus as number two. And Aquarius, that's Taurus number two. And also number 10. Because, let's see, Taurus would be perhaps 11. Yeah. So clockwise, we have Aquarius as 2, and Aquarius as 11. So Taurus and Aquarius share this relationship. Now, what I'm doing here right now is counting using Taurus as the starting point and Pisces as the starting point. You can also do this with the egoic lotus, but you can as well use Aries as the starting point in both directions, and sometimes he does this. Let's look at this. Well, here, you know, we have the two signs, one of which is the sign of the new group of world servers and the other of the hierarchy. So if we go counterclockwise, we have Gemini as three. Gemini, three, and 10. And clockwise, we have Capricorn as 3, and of course 10. And, you know, just as there are intervals in music and you try to understand their nature, so there are intervals in the zodiacal wheel. Here, Venus is uniting the two, and the separate dualities are fused in the process of initiation. Let's see now, what he did do a little earlier, he did Leo Scorpio leading to initiation in Capricorn. So we doubled one of the signs, and perhaps, I think we did this earlier, Virgo would allow itself to be doubled, and Taurus would allow itself to be doubled, so Cancer came into the picture. Well, you see the way of arriving at signs whose numbers are the same. Now, these particular signs would not have the same numbers if we began everything in Aries as the first sign, also on the clockwise wheel. So counterclockwise, again, we would have Cancer 4 and Cancer 4 and Cancer 9. 4 and 9. Interesting how those numbers correspond to the human hierarchy, whose numbers are 4 and 9. And this hierarchy took its birth, or should we say the human kingdom took its birth en masse in Cancer. We would continue and we would have clockwise, Sagittarius would be then a going counterclockwise, Sagittarius would be a 4, and of course counterclockwise it's a 9. So counterclockwise, Cancer is 4 and 9, and clockwise, Sagittarius is a 4, and clockwise it's a 9. Now I think the way to do this, counterclockwise 3 and clockwise 10, Capricorn, okay, let's see how I did this. Taurus is counterclockwise 2 and clockwise 11. Aquarius is clockwise 2 and counterclockwise 11. Yes. And Gemini is counterclockwise 3 and clockwise 10. And Capricorn is clockwise 3 and counterclockwise 10. Cancer is counterclockwise 4 and clockwise 9. Okay. And clockwise Sagittarius is 4 and counterclockwise 9, of course. And so we could go. We've done Leo and Scorpio, whose numbers are, in a way, both 5 or 8, depending. So Leo has been accomplished. Leo and Scorpio. That's what started this whole discussion. Share 5 and 8. And I suppose Virgo, well, let's see. Virgo and Libra share must be 6 and 7. And we would attempt to fathom the relationships here. Some of the relationships are suggested in other places. Scorpio stages the release of Leo. Let's see what else we have here. Let's look at Esoteric Astrology, page 332, and what happens with Leo. Leo seeks release in Scorpio, and Scorpio stages the release of Leo. When it comes to Cancer and Sagittarius, they're both deeply involved with the lunar lords. And also, interestingly, their numbers are the same as the human hierarchy. When it comes to Capricorn and Gemini, the reconciliation of the dualities is there. We could even, I suppose, add these numbers. They all, interestingly, at this point, starting with Pisces, add up to 13. Taurus and Aquarius, we've discussed the type of light that comes from them. The greatest light and the light that shines on Earth across the sea and is distributed to all human beings. So, along with these signs, whose numbers are the same, other constellations can be put, and these other constellations will complete a triangle. One way of doing this, of course, is simply by doubling the lower numbers on the counterclockwise wheel, and triangles can be established. For instance, we've done this double Taurus, we get Cancer, so it's Taurus, Cancer, Aquarius, and so forth. Let's see, if we doubled, right, we would double here Gemini, and would be then a Virgo, so Gemini, Virgo, and Capricorn, and so forth. These are patterned ways of looking for unsuspected relationships, and DK certainly establishes the value of the Leo-Scorpio-Capricorn triangle. On page 332 and 333, we see a special relationship with Leo and Scorpio. And since their numbers are 5 and 8, we're dealing with the humanity, the solar angels, and the Christ consciousness. We have to bring in the esoteric numerology, too, when we look at these numbers. All right. Now let's see what else. As we are upon the subject, one other point might be touched upon here. August, and in a way that word is going to be pronounced August before long. August, which is ruled by Leo, by and large, and for the most part, except for the last week or so, is the month of the dog star, or of Sirius, which thus brings Sirius into close relation to Leo. Well, I think there are other ways that we can establish this as well. Sirius, Jupiter, Leo is a triangle connected. Sirius is one of the major constellations. Leo and the Great Bear are closely related in terms of proximity. We find the constellation Leo by the bottom of the cup of the Big Dipper. So between the sixth ray star and the seventh ray star, we find the cup if we follow down. We find, the constellation Leo. So there is a connection here of Sirius to the Great Bear and of the Great Bear to Leo. Leo, in a cosmic sense, I guess, and beyond our solar system, and apart from our solar system altogether, is ruled by Sirius. But now we have to be very careful what we mean here by ruled. What do we mean by ruled? We mean by rule, because as I tried to explain, rulership operates in two directions, either as control or as reduction, transformation, and modification. I don't think it's possible to consider that Sirius, you see, Sirius is more like a planet when compared to a constellation. So Sirius rules Leo in the same way is ruled by Sirius. Sirius probably brings the Leo energy into focus, reducing it, modifying it. It's a dwarf star, really, if it's the star Sirius we're talking about, and not a solar system, and conducts the energy just the way, let us say, Mars may conduct the energy of a constellation. So let's look at it in this way, that both planets and stars modify or somehow channel the energy flow from a superior source. Constellations are superior sources. They are by one remove superior to stars, and by two removes superior to planets. So planets have an even more reducing effect as they channel the energies of constellations than do stars. It is hard, however, to think of Sirius per se as a being, as a logos, who is superior to the entire constellation Leo. Sirius, I think, forms one part of a constellation, which is one of the chakras of the one about whom naught may be said. Leo is one of the chakras forming one of the 12 petals in the heart, in the head center of the one about whom naught may be said. It seems to me that Leo and any zodiacal constellation occupies a superior position. But there is so much inversion and turning and viewing things from this perspective and that it is not yet possible to determine whether this is the case. But constellations are of a higher order in general than our single stars. Now, sometimes DK refers to Sirius as a constellation, and even sometimes refers to our solar logos, our sun, as a constellation, as if the various planets within it were somewhat like stars. These variations in name can be somewhat confusing. We really do have to find the relative magnitude. I suppose the absolute magnitude of the various stars in a constellation. And imagine, I think we can with justification, that the lord of a constellation operating through a number of solar logoi is a greater being than the lord of a star operating through one solar logos, though perhaps the lord of what we call Sirius operates through a few. Sirius is the home of the greater lodge, You know, it's just something just struck me, you know, that sometimes we might consider the connection of Sirius, Leo, and Jupiter. But sometimes when we mention the name of a factor in the zodiac, we don't know whether it's a constellation we're dealing with or a sign. The order Sirius, sign Leo, and Jupiter could be preserved, because the sign is an area of concentrated influence, and it is simply a receiving agent for the greater lord of the constellation. If we tried to preserve that order, saying Sirius, constellation Leo, and then Jupiter, there might be a mismatch in magnitudes. So we have to consider the relative stages of development of the constellations, the various solar logoi that make them, and the lord of all those solar logoi, when compared with those lives which constitute an area of concentrated influence, lesser lives that can hold the influence of the constellation. They are qualitatively similar, but in terms of potency, much different. The sign is much reduced in potency compared to the constellational source. So that's one of those places where distinguishing between a constellation and a sign ends up being an important act. Now, Sirius is the C-O-N-S-T. Oh, goodness. It has a way of jumping back, doesn't it? And it really jumped quite a ways in this case. Yeah. So, superior, etc., etc. C-O-N-S-T. I think I'll just spell it out. Sorry for this little delay. Constellations are superior sources. Sirius is the home of the Greater Lodge, to which our fifth initiation admits a man, and to which it brings him as a humble disciple. Now, it brings him, in a way, brings him as an initiate of the first degree. He begins his Sirian discipleship at the human third degree. But, in a way, a first degree initiate is but a disciple. So it may mean that even though at the fifth initiation you are what is called the entered apprentice, and you are entering the province of the Lodge of Sirius as a humble first degree initiate who is an entered apprentice, you are also simply a disciple. Before that time, you're a probationary disciple. In a way, before a human being becomes an accepted disciple, he is on probation. But oftentimes at the first degree, we simply call the probationary initiate of the first degree a disciple, and before that time, a probationary disciple, probationary until he takes the first degree. So there are two ways of doing that. We don't necessarily need to wait for those several lives to elapse, maybe quite a few, after the first degree to call a person a true disciple when he is an accepted disciple. So he is a humble disciple of the first degree when he takes his fifth initiation, and notice how Leo is involved there. Leo is connected as the sign of the first degree and also the sign of the fifth degree. Let's say, we'll look at this and we'll say, consider in this context, Leo as the sign of both the first degree and the fifth degree. After all, it's the fifth sign and the fifth degree. Interesting, the ray is connecting there, the first ray with the first degree, the fifth ray with the fifth degree, numerologically, and also the first ray rules the fifth degree. The numbers are correct. So when we take the third solar initiation at the fifth degree under Leo, we are entering the initiatory program of Sirius. You know how it goes. Planetary initiations begin with our birth degree, the very first of the monastic initiations. Solar initiations begin with the third degree, the transfigurations. Sirian initiations begin with the fifth degree. The degree of entered apprentice is ruled by Leo, the degree of fellowcraft by Aquarius, the degree of, the Master Mason degree is ruled by a combination of Sagittarius and probably Capricorn as well. Later, when the New World Religion, how much later, is founded and is working, so some time has to elapse for this religion to work, it must be accepted and followed, and the sixth ray influence must be greatly reduced in society, which is now in process through what I would call the process of inflammation and elimination. I think oftentimes we reach a crisis of inflammation before there is an elimination of that which caused the crisis. So there'll be a temporary elimination here, and the way will be cleared for a more scientific approach, which will be needed, cyclic and scientific, to the New World Religion. So later, when the New World Religion is founded and working, we shall find that the major monthly festival in August, the Leo full moon, really, is what we're talking about here, held at the time of the full moon, will be dedicated to the task of making contact via the hierarchy with Sirian force. So we will have a triangle here, a triangle of hierarchy, Leo, and Sirius. And the solar logos will also have to be considered, because this is occurring at a time when the moon is out of the way of the sun. It's occurring in a full moon period, and this is the period when to which the solar logos is most related. Maybe it's a bit of a quaternary. We could say hierarchy, solar logos, Leo, Sirius. Or maybe we might say that Leo supervises the whole of this approach. So this should be an important time for initiation, since Sirius is behind the entire program of initiation, as experienced on our planet and probably in a way in our solar system. Contact with the Sirian force should bring a strong initiatory stimulation. If Sirius, if Leo changes the nature of the perceived self, the nature of identity, and if that is really what happens at initiation, then we have strong initiatory possibilities at this Leo full moon. Each of the months of the year will later be dedicated, through accurate astrological and astronomical knowledge, to whichever constellation of the heavens governs the particular month. It's almost as if the month should begin. It is as if the months should begin at the ingress of the sun into a certain sign. There is a way, as we saw, to count the duration of a sign as a month, or the duration when the sun seems to be in that sign as a month. But DK is also using the word month in a conventional sense, and a month is generically mostly governed by a particular sign. The month of May, for instance, governed by Taurus, the month of August governed by Leo, and so forth. This is a convention, even though there is an overlap. The month itself starts later than the sign begins and lasts longer than a sign ends. So there will be, with each month of the year, a dedication through accurate astrological and astronomical knowledge. Will something still be discovered which will reconcile the month and the will there be a reconciliation of the month and the duration of the sign? Anyway, through accurate astrological and astronomical knowledge, don't we have that yet? Or is he talking about something more that will emerge? So the month will be dedicated to whatever constellation in the heavens governs a particular month in general. Unless we're going to begin counting months at ingresses, as I've said, as Sirius governs Leo. But even the word governs, which sounds like dominating rulership, can mean reduction. A governor, if I may say, a governor in a motor reduces the power of the motor. And a channel for an energy may reduce the flow of that energy or modify it in some way. So, excuse me, Sirius may govern Leo from a certain perspective. I can always see it as governing the sign Leo, but not the constellation. We have to determine whether Sirius governs the sign Leo, but not the constellation Leo. That is something to consider, because remember a particular master told us that when certain things were accomplished, then would come the achievement of the destiny of the solar logos. Man seemed to be much responsible, and one of them was to really know the distinction between constellations and signs. It seems that when we're talking about questions of a lesser source governing an apparently greater source, then that greater source may not really be greater. It may be a reflection of a greater source, and somehow really a lesser source than the one that proposes to govern. In other words, the sign Leo is less than the constellation Leo. This I shall later elaborate in the papers to be written anent the new approaches to spiritual reality. So we have to question, were these written, and in what way were they written? Maybe they were indeed written. Mercury again comes at this point into our discussion, and you thus have the formation of an esoteric quaternary affecting powerfully the major quaternary of man, spirit, soul, mind, and brain. So mind and brain are a duality here, where personality is usually found, or the term body. Spirit, soul, mind, and brain, and I think it's at this point that Mercury is given as the ruler of mind and Saturn the brain. This energy brings about an interrelation and an inner awakening, which prepares the aspirant for initiation. Mercury, I suppose. This energy, the energy of Mercury, brings about an interrelation and an inner awakening which prepares the aspirant for initiation. The higher quaternary, this higher quaternary is Sirius, Leo, Mercury, Saturn. Yes, well, there's no question that Leo is being given a subsidiary place. The question is it the sign Leo? Leo is being given a subsidiary place. Is it the sign Leo? Because we saw that if signs are actually solar aggregations of 12 energies around the sun, as Alan Leo conceived signs to be in relation to the Earth, then they are powerful fields of concentrated energy which can be magnetically related to the different planets, even as the constellations themselves can be magnetically related. But as we saw, the flow from constellations passes through the sun first. So look at Esoteric Astrology 610 and the hourglass figure. I will bring us there once again, hoping that that is not going to cause some problem. There it is. We notice that it is only through the sun, as a transforming agent, that the energies of the constellations actually reach the planets, if this figure is, this diagram is correct. So if this is correct, the magnetic, 12-fold magnetic aura around the sun, which we might call the signs of the zodiac around the sun, could be magnetically related to the logoi of the planets, who themselves have corresponding signs in a magnetic 12-fold, let us say, magnetic aura around the dense physical body of that particular planet. So, as stated, Sirius may be superior to those concentrated influences around the sun, which we would call signs, and certainly superior to the concentrated influences around planets, which we would call planetary signs. But is Sirius superior to any one of the zodiacal constellations per se? Now, they are called the great constellations. I guess all of this depends on thinking of the constitution of man and trying to understand whether the major head center with its 12 parts has parts which are superior to lower chakras. Are the petals of the heart within the head center of superior power? These 12 major petals, are any one of them of superior power to the more ordinary chakras in the human energy system? We have to really try to figure out, where did these 12 come from? The chakras, all of them come from the sevenfold nature of the monad. They are, in a way, reflections of the principles. They are vorticular motion, phatic motion, operating through the different vehicles, but all of it emanating probably from the third aspect of the monad, which carries rotary motion and then induces it in the vehicles, causing the chakras. But how were the petals in the major head center on top of the head formed? And since it is the major part of the head center, do its parts have a kind of superiority over lesser chakras? This is a question of hierarchical ranking, really. And this is perhaps not easy to determine. We have here this rather higher quaternary, a Sirius Leo Mercury Saturn. And Sirius, in this case, is connected with the spirit aspect, the soul with Leo, either the sign or constellation. I'm hoping, actually, that it's the sign, just to keep things straight. Sirius associated with life, and the soul naturally with quality. And maybe I can get just a little more equality here. Mercury, the mind with illumination, and Saturn with appearance. When planets are discovered, it seems that in the discovery chart, Saturn, or appearance, is prominent. Sirius in the interludes representing inhalation. And Leo, kind of the higher interlude. So, in a way, the higher interlude should be a superior moment. Mercury, exhalation, there is a going forth, a stretching, a bridging, a kind of ray from here to there, and then the lower interlude connected with Saturn. Well, friends, we seem to be at a point that is worth repeating in a moment, that this would be the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 90, Section E, page 299, and I think we'll have to begin with Esoteric Astrology 91, A, page 299. It's too risky, I think, to have too long a program, a five-hour program, a six-hour program you might just get away with, and but maybe not, when it reduces to what can be transmitted over these large file handlers. There's a limit of 2 megabytes, and a six-hour program that might have as many as 8 gigabytes or 7-something gigabytes might not reduce to under 2 gigabytes. So let us together at the end of these five programs sound the great invocation. Let's see how this would work. Okay. It won't work that way. We'll do it this way. The Great Invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Om. Okay, friends. So, this takes us to 5 hours in this program, and hopefully all is well. We will resume with 91, continuing with Leo. Fascinating prospects offered here. We have to make this astrology integral to our understanding of life. It will certainly deepen our understanding of the great science of relations. So, see you at 91.